It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Students in Southern West Virginia are going the extra mile to clean up their communities.
A couple times over the summer and during school too, we did cleanups, litter cleanups, and we would go to like Maybin and like 7-Eleven. We would clean up like the roadside, and people would honk at us as we were going by, so we were doing a good job.
We'll have that coming up in a bit. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A fourth family has announced an intent to sue the Department of Veterans Affairs over suspicious deaths at a West Virginia VA hospital. Dave Mistich reports.
Attorney Dino Colombo says an autopsy has revealed Army veteran Archie D. Edgell died as a result of an unneeded insulin injection. He died last year at the Lewis A. Johnson VA Medical Center. Colombo says Edgell's death follows a similar pattern in other deaths at the Clarksburg Hospital in recent years. At least two of those deaths have been ruled homicides. The FBI and the VA's Inspector General are investigating at least 10 suspicious deaths at the facility. Prosecutors said earlier this month they have identified a person of interest and that they are, quote, the beginning of the end of their work on the case. The hospital says that a reported person of interest was removed from their position. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich in Morgantown.
Not many high schools can say they operate an award-winning recycling program for their county. Much less do you hear this from smaller schools in rural counties. But Wyoming East High School, a school of about 500 students in Wyoming County, has just that. As part of a new occasional series exploring outdoor learning, reporter Emily Allen spoke to the EPA-honored science teacher who helped make the effort possible.
What I want you all to do, I don't want you all to look in your textbook. I know that you're going to want to do that. This is a comfort thing.
That's Brittany Bauer, a teacher at Wyoming East. This is her starting her second period life sciences class.
Here you go. And then pass them out. I want you to try to fill it out by yourself, just what you know about what characteristics of life are. We've talked about viruses and why.
Bauer teaches environmental and biology courses from a science lab style classroom in the back of the school. She has a small zoo of class pets, including a tortoise and a lizard named Fuego. That sound of running water behind us is a fish tank. Bauer is also an advisor to the group's Friends of the Earth Club. Over the last couple of years, the group has received grants from Try This West Virginia, Pepsi, and the State Department of Environmental Protections to do local cleanups and operate its student and volunteer-run recycling program.
It's just environmental stewards doing anything that will help the environment and increase environmental education.
Friends of the Earth existed long before Bauer's time, but it kind of dissolved as students grew disinterested and teachers got busy. When students in Bauer revived the club in 2015, members' goals were largely influenced by what they learned in Bauer's AP Environmental Science class.
One of the students who was really moved by learning about tragedy of the commons and how these public spaces, how we don't take care of them. But after that discussion, they started looking around at their environment and looking at the litter on the side of the roads.
The club eventually started accepting aluminum cans.
I think we said it was like 1,000 or 2,000 aluminum cans. Let's see what we did, what we can do. And they accomplished that in like 1 week.
Within a month, Friends of the Earth had moved on to collecting plastics.
And we were just doing it within the school. And then I think some of their parents and their family members, they said, we need this in our entire county. Can the school manage that for our entire county? And so the students decided, yeah, we can do this. And it just grew from there.
In Wyoming County, resources for recycling are scarce. The closest recycling center is the Raleigh County Solid Waste Authority. That's where the recycling that Friends of the Earth takes ends up.
If you live in Mullins and Oceana and Pineville, somebody comes and picks up your trash. But if you live in an unincorporated town, there's no one to come pick up your trash. So you're responsible for getting rid of it. So what do people do? They burn their trash. And there's some things you don't want to be burned. They may dump their trash somewhere. And if they don't have a vehicle, which a lot of our residents don't have vehicles, how are we expecting them to get rid of this trash?
Last school year, the group recycled more than 10,000 pounds of recyclable items. In April, students cleaned up litter from more than 26 miles of roadside. Most items, they noticed, were recyclable.
So I think recycling and kind of the movement that the students created is drawing awareness to how we should manage our waste more responsibly.
Most of the students who revived the club have graduated, Bauer says. One student's younger sister, now a 10th grader in one of her classes, says she looks forward to joining the club. Here's Amy Vest.
So, a couple times over the summer and during school too, we did cleanups, litter cleanups, and we would go to like Maybin and like 7-Eleven. We would clean up like the roadside, and people would honk at us as we were going by, so we were doing a good job.
The difference Bauer students are making is local, but she also points out it has a global impact.
If we're littering or dumping illegally and it's just plastics, that ends up getting into our river. And we talk about with the students, like, where does it go from our river? Well, the Guy and Dot connects to where? And they start talking about Huntington and the Ohio River, and then the Ohio River goes where? And so you can follow how the recyclables and the type 1-2 plastics get eventually into our ocean. So we take, like, I guess the local lens and then apply it to a global level so that they can see how what we do here does affect our Earth. Because if everybody has that same mindset that we can just dump our trash, we all are contributing to what's happening in our oceans.
Friends of the Earth began meeting this week. They'll sort recyclables from their community on Tuesdays and Thursdays of every week. They accept types 1 and 2 plastics and aluminum cans. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Allen.
A campsite in nearby Kentucky sets along the Trail of Tears route, which took Native Americans north through Nashville into Hopkinsville and then west to Illinois, Missouri, and Oklahoma. For 32 years, this site has hosted an annual multinational powwow. Hannah Bullard attended this year and has this report.
Magnificent cloths whirl as Native Americans represent their respective tribes through dance during the grand entry. Although the dances vary by tribe, they collectively step to the pounding of the drums. One of the drummers is Casey Big Pond.
Casey the Big Pond. I'm Choctaw. I'm half Choctaw and half Creek.
He's a great storyteller.
He's an educator.
He tells stories all the time. He'd be lying.
He says multinational celebrations like this draw members from many states and tribes to share their origin stories.
It's important because that's how we pass down knowledge. Some stories are life lesson stories. You know, some stories are part of a family tree or family heirloom. Stories are just passed down.
Big Pond says stories can offer life lessons to children. He says many stories are family heirlooms. A man with a gray braid motions for the crowd to pull in closer as he begins.
And when it gets dark, you meet the bear family. Do you know who might have been a bear in your family?
The gray-haired man tells of the four directions and different animals found along the way. He draws a square pointing to north, south, east, and west. He points to the square and tells the crowd we share this world and we need to focus on togetherness.
Your grandfather, your uncle, your mom.
The easiest way to describe what a powwow truly is, it's a church meeting, it's your county fair, and it's a multinational gathering. That's what a powwow is. This ain't a battleground, this is a place of peace, a church.
That's Bernard Liddell Little Hawk Laughing, or Hawk. Hawk's a tall, middle-aged man with hair cut into a mohawk. He's draped in vibrant native clothing.
My name is Dehogatrun Iniyahagun Tantinyokonsa. In English, Bernard Liddell Little Hawk Laugh. I'm originally from upstate New York on the St. Regis Mohawk Reservation is where my people's from.
Hawk is participating in a dance historically performed by warriors returning home from battle. The category is men's traditional.
The men's traditional is basically two steps with the right, two steps with the left, in time with the drum. The men's straight will have a glide step as the base of the traditional steps. Both of these are older style warrior dances. They would dance when they come home to cleanse themselves of battle and to relieve themselves of the guilt of taking life.
Some of the songs are called audibles. Hawk says the great loss of native language has left many words with no meaning.
When the Europeans first came over here to the United States, there were over 5,000 languages spoke. Now there's less than 500 native languages to North America. So some of these songs you hear are so old that we call them audibles because there is no word for that word.
Hawk says powwows keep these languages and traditions alive.
but that circle is a place to pray. It's a circle that has remembrance with tears for the ones who have went on. But if you ask any of those dancers what's important, it's the community, it's the sharing, and it's the keeping of different traditions alive.
Hopkinsville's Intertribal Powwow is a venue where emotions are felt and excitement is contagious. Culture is not only being preserved, but performed. And those that share Native blood are proud, as they collect together to honor traditions at a place where ancestors once felt great persecution. I'm Hannah Bullard in Hopkinsville.
Renowned singer and jazz guitarist John Pizzarelli brought his trio earlier this summer to a taping of Mountain Stage in Charleston. His playful number called Save the Bones for Henry Jones is our song of the week.
We're gonna have a supper. We'll eat some food that's rare. And at the head of the table, we'll place Brother Henry's chair. Invite all the local big dogs. We'll laugh and talk and eat. But we'll save the bones for Henry Jones, 'cause Henry don't eat no meat. Today I'll go to market, buy up a lot of fish. That will sure thrill Brother Henry, for fish is his special dish. Get a large can of molasses, so we'll have something sweet to eat. But we'll save the bones for Henry Jones, 'cause Henry don't eat no meat. Now, Henry's not a drinker, he rarely takes a nip. He don't need a napkin, 'cause the things he eats don't drip. Blip, one day we had a banquet, it really was a bake. They started off with short ribs, then finished up with steak. But when the feast was over, Brother Henry just kept his seat. And we served the bones for Henry Jones, 'cause Henry don't eat no meat. Proper, right down to demitasse, from soup to lox and bagels and pheasant under glass. Class, we thought the chops were mellow, he said his chops were beet. Reet, we served the bones to Henry Jones, 'cause Henry don't eat no meat. He's an egg man, Henry don't eat no meat. A vegetarian, Henry coming mother. Soup's on.
That was John Pizzarelli, trio with Save the Bones for Henry Jones. To hear this performance and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our Appalachia Health News is a project of is made possible with support from CAMC and Marshall Health. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.